while you guys last week. It was our fall launch, and it was awesome, right? It was so much fun. And we introduced our theme for the year, which is grow. And you guys, out of all the themes that we've had, I've got to say, I think this is my favorite theme. And honestly, like, that's because this is my heart for you guys. And this is why I'm a pastor. And, you know, honestly, I'm not a pastor because I want to provide a really fun Saturday night for you guys, although that's really important to me. And I'm not a pastor because, you know, I want you guys to turn out as generally good people, although that's really important to me too, and that would be awesome. But I'm here because I want to be a part of seeing your heart grow to truly love and long for God. That's what we want. We want to see your hearts grow to truly love and long for God. So how do we do it? How do we grow? Well, a lot of you guys know that I'm from Minnesota. Yeah, Jude, I see you. And some of you guys might know that I grew up playing hockey. And by hockey, I actually mean ice hockey. And I brought a picture of me playing, so you guys could see. I'm the one in the white. That's me in high school playing hockey. And just to clarify, I had to bring this picture to show you guys, but when I say hockey, like, I hope you know that that's actually the only kind of hockey, like ice hockey. That's it. I mean, like, I heard a rumor that some people played on fields or something, but I don't understand because that's hockey, right? Field hockey? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Someone can explain it to me later, maybe. And then, you know, people play, like, roller hockey. And we play that in Minnesota, but we don't call it hockey. We just call it practice when there's no ice. It's just off-season training. So anyway, just had to get that out of the way. I'm talking about ice hockey. So I still remember one of my very first days of practice. I got to the rink. I'd been asking my parents to play for years, so I was really excited. Got to the rink early, laced up my skates, put on all like 30 pieces of my equipment, and I was ready. I was so ready to get out on the ice. And I got out there, and I was so bad. I was so bad, you guys. I was so bad at hockey on my first day. You guys, I hardly knew how to skate, which was actually a good thing because I also didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to hold my stick, so I definitely didn't know how to shoot the puck or pass at all. And I didn't know the rules of the game or any of the names of the people on my team. I knew nothing, and I was so bad. But you guys, I love this story because what I did next was I just prayed. I just prayed that God would make me a better hockey player. And I just talked about it a lot. I talked to everybody I knew, and I was like, I'm going to be a better hockey player. It's going to be awesome. And you guys, it worked. I was amazing. All of a sudden, I was the top scorer on my team. I was the captain. It was incredible. You guys, it's like I didn't even try really hard, and I was like really good. Yeah, it was... No, no, you guys, absolutely not. That is not how it happened. That would be ridiculous. You guys, I did not become a better hockey player by just talking about it. I did not become a better hockey player by just praying to God and asking that he would make me a better hockey player. I became a better hockey player because I committed to growing with my team. I committed to going to practice every day and learning from my coaches. That's how I became a better hockey player. And you guys, when you heard me saying that, you were like, whoa, that girl's got some issues. Like, that's prideful and probably not true. That would be right. But some of us, you guys, we approach our faith that way. We think that if we just talk about it, or if we just pray and ask God, hey, God, can you make me grow? But then we're not willing to do anything about what God is asking us to do to grow. You guys, that's ridiculous. That's as ridiculous as me standing up here and telling you that that's how I became a better hockey player. It just doesn't work that way. I only became a better hockey player because I committed to growing. And it's the same way with our faith. And I'm so excited to talk tonight about one of the very best ways we can commit to growing in our faith, Would you guys pray again with me before we jump into that? God, would you be with us tonight as we open your word, Lord, as we look at what the Bible says about our own growth, Lord, and what happens when we commit to growing together. Lord, would you give us ears to hear what you have to say to us, all of us, including me, Lord. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys can reach under your chairs. There's a handout under there for you and there's a pen. You can grab both of those. And how many of you guys got a Grow Track card last week? Raise your hand if you got a Grow Track card last week. Well, if you didn't, we have some extras for you, and we're going to have a bunch of them. So you guys make sure to pick up a Grow Track card, because our theme, Grow, is all about what? You guys growing. That's the point. And we want to make it really easy. So we made up this list of actionable steps for you guys to take. And on the Grow Track card, the first one of those is decision. Decision. That means that you decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You put your trust in him as your Lord and Savior. There's a bunch of other stuff on there, and it's awesome. And we want you guys to be moving through Grow Track and looking at what your next step is to grow. One of them is baptism, which is awesome because we're having baptisms next weekend, and Jake's going to be teaching that baptism class tonight, so make sure you check that out if you haven't been baptized. And I want to just tell you guys something. If you have checked that decision box, if you consider yourself a Christian, if that's your identity, then I want to tell you guys something about yourself, and it's that you're a giver. You are a giver. And it's not just something that you do, it's actually who you are. And that's why this year we're going to keep saying over and over again that the result of grow is overflow. Can you guys say that with me? The result of grow is overflow. Exactly. Because we don't just commit to growing for ourselves, right? We talked about that last week. And I love what the Bible has to say about this, about how when we grow, God's going to overflow out of us. This is going to be on the screen, so why don't you guys look up? It's John 7:37 through 39, and it says this. This is going to be Jesus talking, so listen up, okay? This is important. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Okay, so in order to know what Jesus is talking about here, let's talk about why we're thirsty. Because I don't know about you guys, but like I actually want to grow. And actually, I do know about you guys because I've had conversations with you and I've been at Hume with you and in life group with you. And I actually know that you want to grow too. You actually want to read your Bible more. You want to be able to apply it to your life. You want to pray more. You want to grow in your relationship with God. I know it. So, what is Jesus saying here? And what's the world telling us? Because the world's saying, okay, so you want to grow. Well, here's what you got to do. It says that we have to focus on ourselves. That we've got to be all about self-help and self-esteem and self-ease. But for me, you guys, that's just left me self-conscious and very selfish. And can I tell you, 678, that the message that we are the source of our own growth, it's a lie. See, there's an enemy of God, Satan, and he actually wants us to live an unknown, self-centered, isolated life, all alone. See, the enemy wants us to be lonely and to stay lonely. You don't have to raise your hand, but think, have you guys ever felt that way? Unknown, isolated, lonely? There's a reason that the enemy of God, God who wants good things for us, the enemy who doesn't would want us to feel this way. And that's because it keeps us from growing and it keeps us from overflowing. But God's message for us about growth, it's very different, you guys. And see what it says in verse 39 in that verse we just looked at? It says that what flows out of us is God's own spirit. But here's the thing. When this was happening in John, the spirit hadn't come yet. It says that it was yet to come. But because we have the Bible, we have the future. We can actually see what happened in the future when the spirit came. And that's in the book of Acts. So we're going to look at that next. And it's Acts chapter 2. And it says this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This is a bunch of believers gathered together. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happened? The future came from John to Acts, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing, just like Jesus said it would be. But this is where it gets good, you guys, because in the exact same chapter, we get to see how these people responded after they were filled. They grew, and then we get to see the overflow, from grow to overflow. And this verse, you guys, these verses are on your handout. And I want you guys to underline anything that stands out to you as I read this, okay? It says this. All the believers who were just filled with the Holy Spirit devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they have. Ugh, I love that. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So good. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. 6, 7, 8. What a beautiful picture of the life you were created to live in community, right? These people were not unknown. They were not self-centered, and they were not isolated. They were living together in community, and that was their response to being filled to overflow with the Holy Spirit. And because this is such a big deal in the Bible, and because we believe in doing what the Bible says and that it's going to lead us to the best life possible, we're going to talk tonight about why community is so important and how that looks at CA students. But first, I want to go over our very first thing on the handout, because that is that in order to grow, just like we just read, we all need God. We all need God. They couldn't fill themselves from themselves, right? We just talked about that. We're not the source of our own growth. It's from God through His Holy Spirit. Remember my story about hockey, you guys, that I just told a couple minutes ago? Well, there's a reason why I only grew as a hockey player, because I had team practice. And how many of you guys have ever played a sport before? Raise your hand. A lot of you have played a sport before. Okay. Well, how many of you guys know that practice is the least fun part of sports? Right? Yeah, not fun. Like, how cool would it be if the coach was like, all right, like, you made the team, here's your jersey, see you guys at the games. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, that'd be pretty sweet, right? But what if the coach was like, okay, but like, I expect you to practice by yourself every day? First of all, I wouldn't actually do that because I'm not very competitive or self-motivated when it comes to sport, so I would never actually do that. But B, even if I mustered up everything I had to practice for hockey, you guys, I could never get as good without practicing with my team. Because think about it. I could practice my shot all day long, and it could be super fast and super strong, but I would never have gone up against a real goalie. And I could practice my passing all day, but I would never have actually played with another player when they changed directions at the last second and they're a moving target, right? I could never get as good as I did when I was practicing with my team. And 6, 7, 8, look around. This is your team. Would you commit to practicing with them, practicing your faith? Because at CA Students and 6, 7, 8, in order to grow, you've got to commit to being in Christian community. And that's the second point on your handout tonight. In order to grow, you need us. It's on the screen. You need us. And by us, I don't mean the leaders and the pastors. I mean we all need each other. And look around. There's an entire room full of people right here. Wherever they are at on their journey with figuring out who God is, they say it's worth it to spend a Saturday night here. You guys, God works through other people in our lives for our growth. God actually works through other people in our lives for our growth. See, you can read the Bible alone. And you should. You should read the Bible alone. Read it on the Bible app, read it at home. But how will you actually do what you read? Like, how are you actually going to love one another alone? How are you going to serve one another alone? How are you going to fight for justice for another person alone? And you can pray alone, and you should. You should have a prayer life that's just you and God. But if you're not regularly praying with other people, how are you going to know what to pray for? And who's going to pray for you when you're feeling discouraged and like you don't have words to pray? See, there are just some things that we can't do alone. And 6, 7, 8, maybe you haven't grown because you're doing life alone. And I don't just mean like, do you or do you not have someone to hang out with on the weekends, right? Because, you know, that's a little different. What I mean is there people in your life who know the real you, the good stuff and the not so good stuff, who you can go to encourage you in your faith when you're struggling, who will celebrate with you, who will walk alongside you when you're struggling? Do you have those people? I want to close with this story, and Aiden, you can join me up here. See, I was in a life group in high school for all 4 years, and I remember the day, actually the exact moment, my sophomore year, when we transitioned, my life group and I, from being just friends who went to church together to actually people who are committed to doing life together, like real life, right? And I remember it so well. My friend Leanna, her parents were divorced, and her dad was remarried, and she had a lot of issues with her stepmom, and they didn't get along well. And one day we were driving home to our friend Chelsea's house from school, and she started telling us about this and how things had gotten pretty bad recently. And she was really struggling. And she said, since we're all in the life group together, hey, would you guys be praying for me? And we were like, yes, of course, Leanna, we'll be praying for you. Of course, yes, absolutely. And she was like, thanks, guys, okay. And then we got out of the car and we started walking. And then the Holy Spirit, who all Christians, after they make that decision, are filled with, spoke to me, hit me, gave me this feeling like I was supposed to say 8 more words. And those 8 words were this: hey, can we pray for you right now? Hey, can we pray for you right now? And so between the car door and my friend's front porch, we just stopped and we surrounded her and we prayed for her. We prayed for everything that was going on in her life. And as she cried, it was in that moment that we all kind of wordlessly decided in our hearts that we weren't going to go back to the surface life anymore. That's when we really started growing and overflowing together. And that's when I realized that even something as seemingly small as those 8 words, you guys, could actually make a difference in someone else's life. And 6, 7, 8, that's because in order to grow in community, you've got to know that you have something to give. And that's the final point on the handout tonight. In order to grow, we need you. We need you. See, God works through us in other people's lives for their growth. God works through you in other people's lives for their growth. And I want to give you guys some compliments for a second, really quick here as we close. You guys look good tonight. Yeah, you look great. And you guys are so talented. Have you guys seen each other up on the worship team? I mean, like, I could never do that. Singing and playing instruments, it's amazing. And you guys are brave, you're smart, you're kind, you're compassionate, you care for one another, you have amazing gifts of mercy, you have gifts of hospitality. And you guys, you know that you can make somebody else feel welcome or not pretty easily. We need you, 6, 7, 8. We are less when you are not here. That's something Pastor Bo always says. We are less when you are not here. And will you guys commit to growing, not just for your own growth, but so that we would all grow because of you? Would you guys do that? Would you commit to that? Well, there's a way that this looks at 6, 7, 8. There's a way that we do community here. And one of the biggest ways that it looks like is life groups. And maybe you guys haven't noticed, but this is a pretty big group, right? There's a lot of people in here. It can be a little overwhelming and intimidating. But because God did not create us for that unknown, self-centered, isolated life we were talking about, we decided at 6, 7, 8, we wanted to do something about this whole community thing. And we came up with life groups. They're smaller groups of people that meet every week on Saturdays, and they're separated by grade and gender. So the 7th grade girls are with the other 7th grade girls. The 8th grade guys are with the other 8th grade guys. And it's amazing. I actually want to invite every single person in this room tonight to come to life groups 3 weeks from today. That's my challenge. 3 weeks from today, we have our first week of life groups in 2017 fall. And I want to invite everybody here and everybody who's a part of 6, 7, 8 and not here to come to that first week of life groups. And I want you guys to actually commit to going to life groups from there on out, because it's amazing what God does when we commit to growing, because he's committed to our growth, you guys. He wants to grow us, and he wants to grow others through us. Because I love you guys, and I want you guys to experience that joy, and I want you to be a part of growing the other people in this room, I want you guys to come to life groups. All of us do. We need you, and we're less when you're not here. We thank God for being not all about the unknown, self-centered, isolated life, but all about the known giver community life. I encourage you guys to step into that.